Our featured readers are Ariel Gordon and Brenda Schmidt. Ariel Gordon is a Winnipeg Treaty One Territory-based writer, editor, and enthusiast. She is the ringleader of Rites of Spring, a National Poetry Month project with the Winnipeg International Writers Festival that appears in the Winnipeg Free Press. Her first two collections of poetry won the Lansdowne Prize for Poetry, and the first book in her public poetry project, Tree Talk, with At Bay Press in 2020, was nominated for three Manitoba Book Awards. And Brenda Schmidt was the seventh Saskatchewan Poet Laureate. She's the author of five books of poetry and a book of essays. Her work has been nominated for Saskatchewan Book Awards, received the Alfred G. Bailey Prize for Poetry, and is included in the Best of the Best Canadian Poetry in English, 10th Anniversary Edition. She has served on the board of directors of the Saskatchewan Writers Guild and Sage Hill Writing, and more recently as poetry editor for Grain. She gardens on a dry hillside in central West Saskatchewan in Treaty 6 territory and has several rain barrels. And Ariel and Brenda will be reading from their new book, Sightseeing. They've asked me to read the description. February 2021 to March 2022 was a period of great reflection for two of Canada's most celebrated poets. Ariel Gordon and Brenda Schmidt wrote collaborative poetry formatted like a call and response. Ariel intended to write about urban Manitoba, the city and its trees, and Brenda was to write about rural Saskatchewan and birds. Over the course of the year, the matter of place took over, and the intentions branched and flew apart. The poets wrote about the natural world and people making their way through it all. They wrote home as they found it, observing climate as it manifested in drought-stressed trees and stunted crops covered in grasshoppers, in wildfires and wildfire smoke hanging over the prairies. Survival, struggle, keen naturalist perception, and endless wit brought forward the idea of hope, rejuvenation, and the generative power of community. Welcome here, Brenda and Ariel.
Right, I believe I'm unmuted. Can everyone hear me? And Brenda, let's hear your dulcet tones.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. We're so grateful to be here. We're grateful to At Bay Press for taking on this project. We're grateful to Angeline and Speaking Crow and all of you, and I can't wait to hear your poems. I've been doing a little bit of touring with this book, and I've had a succession of fake Brendas reading with me. And I am so glad to have a real Brenda to read with, the actual Brenda.
But the fake Brendas were so good. I'm nervous. They were really good.
Yes. All right, so we're just going to get going. We're going to read. If anyone's got the book, which sounds presumptuous, but if anyone has the book, we're starting on page 96. All right. I'm just going to start. I drive from Aspen Parkland into Boreal Shield, from the gray, green, white of trembling aspens to the whitened teeth of peeling birch in a few hours. It's like running into a cousin I haven't seen in years, my father's features, the family jokes, strangely rearranged. I don't even unpack the car before stumbling out under the white shells trees. And it's somehow +9 in November, and the rocky ground, the bark split trees studded with mushrooms. I need a cup of tea.
Sunset. A truck goes by, hits the bricks 150 yards away, creeps ahead, angles north a bit to better see the slough. My interaction figure nudges the front door open with my knee, hoping the hunter won't notice. The big camera and lens steady my trembling hands. Autofocus is my friend. Deep breath, quick clicks. I am bold, a no hunting sign. The truck speeds off, brakes at the top of the hill. Okay, now I'm scared. Now off it goes, for real. I check my pics, see a clear enough image of the driver's hand pointing a rifle out the window.
First snow, mid-November. I'm not sure what I'm more scared of on my highway drives to work this week. Ruts filled with slush or fallback bucks bounding from the ditches. Watch for deer for the next 11 kilometers, the roadside sign blares. Funny, the internet swears my friend's husband is out hunting somewhere in Saskatchewan, but he gets the A-OK from farmers first. He hangs his deer from a hook in his garage and breaks them down to a pile of paper packages in his chest freezer. I helped him once, borrowing a one-piece work suit and a knife. He removed the head before I arrived, as a courtesy. When we chow down on venison and swill cava at his annual barbecue, we joke about the hook, call him Bluebeard, serial killer. Other years, I intoned, "When the zombie apocalypse comes, we'll feast on super abundant deer and geese, at least for a while." This year's barbecue was canceled.
A rough-legged hawk hovers as we slow down to watch, its wings flapping like my jaw when I attempt to say it out loud. Its head bows to the northwest wind in field guide fashion. The truck hits the gravel ridge. 5 full water jugs clunk in the box, 17.8 liters each. It takes 124 liters per month to meet our thirst. To think I drank water from the well for a year before we thought to test it. High levels of nitrate. Am I blue? Up ahead, another rough sits atop a quintessential shot-up curve sign, which reminds me, I text my hunter brother about the buck we saw standing by the road at the top of Bone Coulee on the way to town. It was missing most of its right antler.
6 a.m. I see the silhouette from a distance and slow down to see a buck cross the road from farmer's field to malt factory, conjured by dawn, by hunting season and rut. My friend's husband swears deer can sense city limits in the fall. I swear there was frost on his antlers, but maybe I'm projecting. I scan the roadside for more deer, but that's a doe tactic. Post buck, 2 trucks with snowplows bolted to the front and 200 meters of road, then nothing but glittering ice fog. The world contracts. Irish Siri narrates, 3.2 kilometers to your destination. I creep along.
Half a maple down, half a blizzard to go. Snow rear ends the house at 92 kilometers per hour. More than one neighbor bets we'll lose power. One posts a pic of a roadside billboard in the middle of a nearby nowhere. 272 million in upgrades, it says. Record-breaking investment in rural infrastructure. SAS power, getting old. Afraid of freezing, our record-breaking investment sits under the deck, ready to go. Beside the generator, a trap is set for those who like wires. Rodents can't always help themselves.
Someone shares a picture of 800 tightly packed pronghorns on the highway near Maple Creek, Saskatchewan, to Facebook. Someone else notes the pic is a year old, dutiful fact checker. I peer at all the beige pronghorn butts, the bluster of the whitewashed horizon, and feel glad I avoided outside entirely today. Wind shuffling around the house, freezing rain falling throughout the day. Everyone else slipped on the ice, so I didn't have to. I might have high beam nightmares about those pronghorns tomorrow's 6 a.m. drive-in. On my way upstairs with another cup of tea, of milky tea, I tell M I love him. From my pocket, Irish Siri chimes in. You are the wind beneath my wings.
A covey of partridge crests the drift and races to the bottom, like they're making fun of my career prospects, my body of work. It's not like I always think covey when I see them. No one says covey here. Flock, we say. The flock squints as a unit, as a gust hits their bottoms, lifts feathers, all Marilyn Monroe. They seem delighted and commence scratching. If I move, they'll burst into flight.
I come out of a long tunnel of work, of overcast days, to sun. It spreads over my face, filling its cracked drywall. I feel like a handyman special, all string and duct tape, leftover knob and tube. But the roads are bare and dry, and I don't have to think about driving. I don't have to think about black ice or visibility, the deep ruts in the road. Beyond the perimeter, the malt factory belching beery exhaust, there's a flicker of movement. Corvids pecking at what looks like a welcome mat in the ditch. Something brown and ragged, lying unevenly on the ground. It occurs to me that it could be the buck I passed, and maybe someone else picked it up like a spare in a bowling alley, pins knocked down at a semi-industrial 70 kilometers per hour. I am still unseasonable.
Chronic wasting disease ravaging deer population near South Saskatchewan River, says the CBC headline the hunter posted earlier while waiting in his blind. That's near here, where herds of starving deer resorted to bales and trees last winter. Insurance claim guidelines appear in my feed. The news smells of a coming call, some say. The hunt concludes. The bare right hand holds the base of the right antler, the broken brow tine hiding the thumb.
I ache all over, but don't line up for a COVID-19 test. The news says Omicron has migrated to Hamilton, that COVID has been logged in Quebecois white-tailed deer. M calls in sick. Then my daughter says she's feeling sick too. I reverse RSVP for dim sum with friends, a concert with another friend, Sunday dinner with the in-laws. In my feed, someone has captured pics of a raptor through a porch door, stripping feathers from a pigeon. The snow pink, coated in gray feathers. The raptor sitting on its prey like it was a throw pillow. Flightless, I content myself with low-res, after-the-fact, accipiter eye contact, the yellow sun of that angry eye.
A bull moose cuts through the sunrise, stopping now and then to take in the humans squabbling on the step. H holds a hoodie out to me, Go away, I say. How am I supposed to put that on and take pics at the same time? You're wrecking my shot. Do you want frostbite, he says. The steam is wrecking it for you, he adds. I close the door. The moose hears the click, raises his antlers, and turns to me in my nightgown. I hold my breath. For a moment, all is quiet, freezing hide, sky yellow and lilac.
Our test results come through at 3:34 a.m. negative. M and I snoring a duet deep in our duvet, missed it. Later, the lymph nodes under my chin swollen. He unearths nighttime cold medicine and brings it bedside. I protest, but he tells me to cut the bull and take it anyways, and I dry up like a wrenched faucet. Our latest cat, a fluffy, formerly feral ginger that doesn't mind the cold, demands his 20 wintry minutes on the screened porch. The police helicopter rattles the picture frames while I flip laundry, scrub the blasted asterisks of Bissell threads from a chunk of Medel de Croc, the spongeware rim of a chamber pot. By spring, I will be reconciled to the blue carpet of zebra mussels on my favorite curve of the red. I will have gumbo protocols, separate rubbers for each river, and a jug of bleach for washing up.
The cat wants out. So out he goes, gallant with orange fur in a kingdom of frost, off to defend this place or die. The cat comes back, like my post-booster headache, and behind him a buck, antlers sharp and tines long enough.
The flu was last week's news, and it was unspeakably sunny. So I visited the two highest places in Winnipeg, the sixth floor of the Manitoba Clinic, where all the preggers and perimenopausal women waddle off the elevator. Every time I'm waiting to hear that it isn't cervical, uterine, or ovarian cancer, I lean on the waiting room window, looking for the exact spot. The city disappears under trees. Afterwards, I chauffeur my lady parts to Garbage Hill, an old landfill with a disposable sheet of grass over top, where gopher holes leak milk glass and hotelware. I apply myself to the muddy ridges and Russian olived slopes, learning everything there is to know about weak sun and strong wind, my hair tossed like salad. Later, I crash into bed, like someone who has forgotten the difference between gas and brake, sick and well.
The same cube van speeds by for the second time today, as nondescript and predictable as cube vans get. Heading east this time, 100 red poles lift from the hollow, bellies cube van white. I wish I could roll up that roll-up door with my mind. Imagine the cargo. Hospital sheets, plumbing supplies, a stainless steel fridge with guarantee of fingerprints, a mystery tucked up front, coffee-stained and dog-eared, straight out of a little library. Red poles aside, I'd say I'm witnessing a crime. In these parts, it's a crime to not wave.
It's the Saturday before Xmas. We should be out, picking up bookstore gift cards, parading our padded selves on walking trails. But we find ourselves gripped by the desire to stay home. The temperature is minus 21 with the wind chill, but the forecast calls for 1,000 cases of Omicron a day. My sister texts, asking me to bring Brussels sprouts for 14 to Xmas dinner next week. Ugh.
Images of COVID spikes and all made in the yard while I slept. Two circles, each 2 deer lengths in diameter and a herd apart, each loaded with tracks, not the usual dig marks, but marks with certain lightness and elegance, a score perhaps. An abundance of action to guide the play of antlers clattering under the moon, feet from my window. Encore. This morning, with a tweet, Environment Canada confirms the presence of COVID-19 in a deer outside of Saskatoon. I really hope the works of us live to see the snow Banksy melt.
There's no bad weather, only bad people. I was supposed to walk today, but midday my friend confessed by a pixelated screen, too cold for this wimp. It's good he knew to insult himself, so I didn't have to. Instead, I read about scientists using machine learning to predict which animals are more likely to catch COVID from us and then pass it back. Which they called, quote, spillback infections and secondary spillover infections. I scan the tables like they're set for Xmas dinner. Cats and dogs, but not raccoons. White-tailed deer and deer mice, but not house mice. Pigs and cows, cougars, but not big brown bats. I have to say, I feel perforated by the idea of an infected wild. And that's the reading. Thank you so much for listening.
Wow, thank you. That was brilliant. I'm going to stop recording.